Hey, good morning, everyone. So today's reading is from Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16. So, 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven.
The school of Christ, different commands, different imperatives from Jesus. We're referring to this series, and I think it makes sense as we have traveled through Lent to think of Jesus' words to us, what it means to follow him. And a number of these have come from the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew 5, 6, 7, right? So here we have, towards the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, two metaphors for the church, or two metaphors that Jesus uses right off the top in terms of talking about what it means to follow him. So a number of weeks ago, John Morey, when I was away, spoke about the salt, so I won't do a whole lot with that, and we'll focus on the light theme. So as we've been working with, and as Bonnie and Sherry Lynn have been creating the structure for this service, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount are the Beatitudes. So the Beatitudes then creates the vision for Jesus of what the community of God is to be like. And clearly, if we read the Beatitudes, which we have in a variety of ways, if we think about those, it is a vision for the world that is quite different from what our power structures typically follow. But Jesus is saying, this is the way it is to be. So we could say it's a colony of heaven in the midst of an alien culture, or we are to be peacemakers in a troubled world. We certainly see that all around, right? If you watch the news, trouble everywhere. Yesterday in Gaza and Israel, they were marking an anniversary where the folk in Gaza were protesting against the homes that have been taken away from them over the years, and Jewish-Israeli settlements have been established there. So whatever way one is on that question, it's a troubled part of the world. And not just there, but the whole area. So we are called to be peacemakers in a troubled world. And I've always liked this piece of art, which is called Jesus of the Breadline. So there are people lining up at the food bank, waiting for food. That's the idea of here. And here it's a very hurting community. And who do we see right in the middle of it? The idea is that Jesus is there. So Jesus of the bread lines, or in the bread lines. And that's representative of not just Jesus, but that's to be representative of us, which is where the Sermon on the Mount goes. So we are called the salt of the earth. We are called the light of the world. We are to be like Jesus in some way. You see what I mean? That's the difference we are to make. Churches all over the city try to do it. Rob, last night, it was at Blythewood Baptist Church, a sister church of us, works with us in our ministry in Bolivia, and they do a program called Out of the Cold all through the winter every Saturday night. And they do meals, they have a place for people to sleep. I mean, it's a beautiful program. The church is trying to make a difference in the community. That's being salt, that's being light. That's what they're trying to do. We try to do it. It's why we established Frontlines 30 years ago, so that we could make some sort of difference in this community in a practical way. However, the church is often overlooked, dismissed as irrelevant. And that, by the way, that's one of the reasons why, because in our secular society, really, people see the church often as completely irrelevant. It does not strike them in their world at all. So it's one of the reasons why the church today has to show that it actually makes a difference. You have to demonstrate in more practical ways that, hey, it matters that we're here. Because they don't believe it matters that we're here. 50 years ago in Toronto, Toronto was known as a Christian city. You know what I mean? That everybody, they were Christians, and the churches were full all across the city. The community, a broader community, had a sense that maybe the church mattered a little bit. McLean's magazine used to do a series every year on the top 10 preachers in Canada. No kidding. Front cover story. Top 10 preachers. You can't really imagine that today, right? The broader community doesn't care who the top 10 preachers are, whoever they are. They're absolutely meaningless. So to have a national magazine talk about that sort of thing shows a difference. So we have to show that we're salt and light in a way just to get people's attention. Otherwise, they think, forget it. That means nothing. And it doesn't matter if it's here or if it matters in Bolivia. It's the same idea. We have to show our relevance. So two metaphors for the growing church we're calling the incipient church. So here's the first. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. The salt of the earth. A bit of salt flavors the whole. Salt also acts as a preservative. We heard that. You heard that if you were here when John was speaking. So salt helped the food hang in there, maintain, right? Salt could lose some of its saltiness. Not completely, but the sodium chloride in the salt can be leached out to a degree. And by the way, in the Middle East, in Israel, the Dead Sea, it's one of the saltiest places, the saltiest in the entire world. So they knew something about salt. So when Jesus uses this metaphor, people get it. But it's interesting, Jesus spoke Aramaic, and the Aramaic word salt is connected with wisdom. So it's not just a preservative. The salt of the earth in Aramaic meant we have something to say. We have some wisdom to share. You are the wisdom of the earth, not just preservative of the earth. So what are we sharing? What is our wisdom? Why does Jesus use that idea? Because that's what the community was getting. It talks not about status, but function. And what I mean by that is, you know, we will hear the phrase, at least it's an Irish-Scottish phrase, Welsh, you are the salt of the earth. You know, you're salty. He's a salt of the earth, that guy. He means he's a good mate. He's a good friend. I can count on him. He's the salt of the earth type. Well, when it's said here, it's not really meaning that. It's talking about this function of wisdom or adding value, adding life. And it's interesting that the you are the salt of the earth, is plural. The you is not singular. You, the community, you, my disciples, you who are following me, you are the salt of the earth. That's the first approach. So it means we as a fellowship, we as a community, in this area, in our ways that we connect on a broader level, as a community, you are the salt of the earth, Jesus is saying. So it's something that we are doing together, which means that we have to have a sense of togetherness. It's not just about us coming and doing our own thing. It's not just about me and my opinions. Together, we are the family. We are the salt. And it's the same with the light. It's you, plural. You are the light. We'll get to that. But it's not for ourselves, but it is for the community. You are the salt of the earth. It's for them, right? It's for those who live around here. That's how we are the salt of the earth. We have a role to play corporately, that we make a difference. We can ask ourselves, right? If our doors were shut up tonight, the bank says we have no money. We're coming in, we're locking up the doors. I went to a gym one time. I went to the gym on a Monday morning, and there were padlocks on the door. You couldn't get in. It went bankrupt that quick, overnight, boom. So if that happened to us, would the community make any, would it cause any ripples at all? Well, I think it would. But you see what I mean? If we just close, boom, after 100 years, would the community even know? Would it even care? If we're being salt, well, then it would matter. You are the salt of the earth. Secondly, you are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. You are the light of the world. Another beautiful metaphor, right? You are the light. We are the light. Together we are the light. What does a light do? Well, it attracts. It's a guide. It's a sign. Maybe a warning of danger. Around the world, there are lighthouses out on the west coast of Vancouver Island, at the south end of the town called Euclulet. It's a beautiful area for walking this very rough coast, and there have been all kinds of shipwrecks that have gone down all around those waters because it's so rough. Next stop is Japan, right? We are as far out as we can go in Canada. West side of Vancouver Island, a long, long way. And at the bottom of one of the chariots, there is this old lighthouse, been standing since the 1880s. Still works, still shines. And that little lighthouse, it's only about 20 feet high, not that big, shines for 7 miles. The light shines for 7 miles. Ships way out there can see that light. So there, it's a bit of a warning, or it's a guide, or, you know, it's the way home. Depends what's going on that ship. That's the idea, the light of the world. Obviously, it's to be visible and not hidden. We're not to light it and then put it under a bushel. We had the kids singing that, right? That doesn't make any sense. Why would you do that? Your light is to shine. Now, it is interesting that lights, in Philippians, we'll refer to that later, talks about us as individual lights, individual stars. So we're a light as a community, but we're also light individually. Wherever we are, you in your building, my street, we are called to be a light where we live. Shine like stars in the world around us, Paul says in that text, Philippians 2:15. So we are to be visible, not hidden. So church is not just about us. It's not just about how we're feeling. It's not just about how we're doing. We are to make a difference in our world. That's what Jesus is saying. So there's two metaphors then, right? We got the salt. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. All right, so Jesus frames it that way. Now he comes home, and here are the commands. In the same way, let your light shine before others. Let it shine. That is in the imperative. That's a command. Let your light shine, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So let your light shine. The first metaphor, salt, it isn't a hard command, but it's implied. Be salty in your community. But here, definitely, let your light shine. Not so that you will shine, but that God will shine, that he may be glorified. That's the point. And the light that we shine isn't your light or mine, it's Christ's light. We reflect him. Jesus is, I am the light of the world. Doesn't he say that? John 8. It's interesting, in John, there are 7 I am sayings. I am, I am, I am the bread of life, 1. 2, I am the light of the world. 3, I am the gate. I am the gate. And it goes on. I am the way, the truth, the life. There are 7 I am sayings. And the second one is, I am the light of the world. So Jesus is the light. And then he calls us, you are the light. Well, the way we do that is we reflect the light of Jesus. That's the point. You have a big full moon, right? And you see that moon just rocking, man. It is white, 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 white. It's illuminating the whole area. You know, and I know, it's not the moon. It's not the moon that's generating that light on its own. What's it doing? It's reflecting the light of the sun. It's nighttime, but it's reflecting the light of the sun, and then boom. That's what we're to do. You are the light of the world. When Paul says, you shine like stars, it's Christ's light in us shining out. So, then we need to let Christ shine. We just sang that song, shine on us, shine in us. You shine in us, then we'll be able to shine. Because we don't have the light in ourselves. Paul says it this way, for it is the God who said, let light shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let that light shine that shines in Jesus, so Jesus then shines in us. That's what Paul says. John writes in Revelation 2 and 3, what does he call the church? He calls the church lampstands. The church in Ephesus, you are a lampstand. Church in Smyrna, you're a lampstand. Church in Philadelphia, you're a lampstand. That means you put the light of Christ not under a bushel, you put it on a lampstand, and you let it shine. That's what we're to be. You, the Church of Weston, you are the lampstand of Weston. I think that's a healthy way to think about churches. We are lampstands. We are not in competition with the other lampstands. See what I mean? I'm not in competition with Rexdale Alliance. They're simply another lampstand. I'm not in competition with Queensway Cathedral, where I used to go many years ago. It's simply a lampstand. It shines in its area, and we shine in our area. That's it. We do our work. We shine. It's not about comparing. It's not about being competitive with one another. We shine. All the churches. I've been to a bunch of churches in my life. Danforth Gospel Temple, Knox Presbyterian, Queensway Cathedral, Banfield Memorial, Associated Gospel, all kinds of churches. Just lampstands, man. That's all they are. We're a lampstand. We better let it shine. That's the point. So where do we go with it? How do we bring it home for us? I would say there's 5 points that I get out of it, just briefly. One, what we do counts. What the church does really counts. We flavor the community around us. We enlighten the world around us. That's our job. The Church of Weston would actually, the community of Weston would diminish if we were not here. Because what we do actually counts. So then we have to believe it counts. Secondly, it's about kingdom living. We are salt and light. It reminds us that we have a purpose. We have a mission. Your life means something as a Christian. My life means something. We represent Jesus. He wants us to be his light in this world. Be that light. Shine for Jesus. I think that's, super important for us to realize, because we can think our lives don't matter at all. My life's not important. I live a very ordinary life. There are extraordinary people out there, but I'm very ordinary. What about me? Doesn't matter. No. Each of us is amazing. God in us, working in us, making a difference. You, everybody here makes a difference. As we live for Jesus, as we just open up for him. You can do it in ways that nobody else can, because you're the one there. Your family, your building, your community, whatever it is, and then us collectively. So our life matters. The world tends to tell us, yeah, you don't matter, man. You're just a number. You're a stat. That's not what Jesus says. Three, it does require focus, because Jesus says what? If a salt loses its saltiness, then it's not so great. So we can lose our salt, or we can saltiness, or we can put our light under a bushel, right? That's very simple little children's songs. This little light of mine. When I worked at the group home for a year and a half and part-time there for 5 years, that was a killer, man. That was a killer song. You did that one, man. You hit a home run in that one, man. Get all the clients sitting around in a room. Get out a guitar. This little light of mine. Woo! Everybody goes nuts. It was great. You know, it wasn't that hard to impress those folks, you know? They just took it at face value. We're a lot harder to impress. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. But we can get sidetracked, right? We lose focus. And frequently, what matters to us most often is living comfortable lives and taking care of my own needs. That's where we often go. As long as I'm comfortable, doesn't matter. Well, that's not the Beatitudes, is it? That's not the kingdom. So, I mean, that's what the text says, right? That's not me. That's what the text says. This is what Jesus says. So we need to hear it from him. It's not just Davy up there spouting off. This is what text says. This is what Jesus is saying. Your life matters. So live in a way that matters. Says it to me. I have to hear that. And who will be glorified? God will be glorified. So your Father in heaven will be praised. He will be praised. Not that we will be praised. He will be praised. Here's the text from Philippians. So that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation in which you shine like stars in the world. That's our job. Woo! Shine like stars. Your day under the sun right now. You shine. You shine your light. You got your years to shine. And then you're out, man. Then you're with the Lord. You've done your job. It's just very fast, right? Here, boom, gone. Your light, shine like stars. And then it's interesting that it ends, well, I'll go to this, the Tyndale Chapels. I love that. It's one of the prettiest chapels in the entire country, actually. If you can get up to the Tyndale Chapel, built by the Sisters of St. Joseph in the 1940s. And it's this wonderful chapel, high, with stained glass all the way down. And often I'll take my class in there, and I'll get them to look at the stained glass, and I'll say, find an image somewhere there that resonates with you, because there's all kinds of images. But what happens is the light comes through, and it breaks into all kinds of color, amazing color. It's not just the same light. Oh, the spectrum of the color range starts shining. Oh, it's beautiful. That's what we're to be. Giving glory to God. It's our image. And as we shine, we glorify our Father in heaven. This is the first time that Jesus uses his favorite word for God, Father. Aramaic, Abba. This is the first time. Before the Lord's Prayer, our Father. Here we have in Matthew 5, glorify our Father, your Father in heaven, Abba. He's the one we have relationship with you. Jesus just puts it out. This is his first time. He is our Father, not just mine, your. Glorify your Abba in heaven. Be in relationship with him. No matter what happens, the worst thing can happen, but that relationship is still there. It it'll transcend whatever. We may die in some situation, but we wake up and we are with our Father in heaven. Glorify your Father. So I find it interesting that that's where Jesus throws this in, and it talks about being in relationship. We are light, we are salt for our Father who is in heaven, so that other people might come to know that dynamic as well. And the best way we show it is in our interpersonal relationships. That's the best way that you show, that I show, salt and light. It is not someone standing up and giving a long 10-minute prayer. In the Presbyterian tradition, in the Reformed tradition, a pattern came about of giving long, erudite prayers. And they're beautiful. I used to go down to listen to our Reverend Owens, and he would preach for 45 minutes to an hour every Sunday. But before he preached, he gave a prayer at least 10 to 12 minutes long. He was prepping that prayer as much as he was prepping his sermon. long, beautiful. But Jesus is not saying you will glorify God in your long prayers. He doesn't say you will glorify God best in your worship even. He says we glorify God best when we are salt and when we are light in how we relate to people. That's a challenge, isn't it? How we relate to people. How we relate to the people we don't even like. That's how we show the glory of God. Did Jesus like everybody? Did he even like all his disciples? One point he calls James and John, when they had fiery tempers, he calls them the sons of thunder. Maybe that bugged him. You guys are always getting angry and uptight with people, and I don't like it. Or Judas. He sees right through Judas. Judas is going to betray me. Maybe he didn't really. Part of him maybe he didn't like. I don't know, right? I'm speculating. But we are called to glorify God in how we relate to one another. That's where we are. So can we be salt? You are the salt. I am the salt. You are the light. I am the light. Can we hear Jesus' command? Can it encourage us? Or does it defeat us? Does it encourage us or defeat us? Okay, I mean, what can you say to that? You don't really want to say defeat us, right? So you don't say it. But it might make us feel good or it may make us feel bad. But that's the command. That's the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.